You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
Yes, our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet, get an isolation with the linebacker. You tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. Look at this play where we're trying to get a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
What's up, guys? Welcome into Packers Total Access. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. You can find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. Email us, PackersTotalAccess@gmail.com. Text us, 865-658-5824. We are officially live on Rumble, Facebook, YouTube, and X, as it currently sits. So trying to expand the horizon a bit. I'm joined alongside Jacob here live in Wisconsin. We've got, I don't know why that sounded Australian or something.
Wisconsin?
We've got Emilio in Tennessee. Emilio's a little under the weather, guys, okay? So just understand, if he just starts mumbling here in a minute, we'll kill the cam and move on like he didn't even exist, all right? So hopefully you're going to get to feeling better soon there, Emilio.
Definitely. Appreciate it.
People are going, why are you going live three times today, Clay? So what we've got is Mandy had her uncle passed away, unfortunately. So tomorrow we're going to be traveling to Kentucky. So we'll probably be doing a morning show tomorrow, but no evening show. We're going to spend some time with family. So we're going to do three today. That way we keep the podcast cranked out for those of you guys and gals on the road or at work listening to the pod. So we'll keep on a churning. So, with that being said, give a shout out to everybody in the chat. We got United Bates in the house. We got Greg up in here. Mano pops in and says, hey, the YouTube page is still here. Yes, sir, it is. Todd in the chat, best YouTube show. Appreciate you, Todd. Thank you for the support.
Ooh, look at that. It works.
Hey, there it nice. Is. Right here. Look at the beard on that man. He must be related to Jacob. Look at that stuff.
No way, dude.
I love it. Yeah, so Cody, we got Mark, we got Chad Inc., Randy Cleavers, except Mano in the house. Chris Ian, what's up, buddy? Good to see you. All right, so we were going to try to get to this in the morning show, and we obviously ran out of time. I'm excited about it because we want to kind of dive into what this Jeff Hafley defense may or may not look like. I've been doing a little bit of studying. I'm pretty familiar with Pete Carroll's old Legion of Boom defense, and you guys know the reason we're going to talk about the Legion of Boom and that 4-3 cover 3 buzz defense is because Robert Saleh worked in that defense for Pete Carroll, right? And he moved on and went to the San Francisco 49ers. Obviously, he ends up being defensive coordinator there. Then he gets the head coaching job with the New York Jets and takes that defense with him. Now, D'Amico Ryan's kind of stepped into that role in San Francisco. He's now taking that same or a similar philosophy down to Houston. I want to say this. Anytime a coach leaves, a coordinator leaves and goes to another place, even if they're just doing a lateral move and going, you know, to let's say, there's another Rumble viewer. Good stuff, man. Nice. Anytime they go to another place, like, for example, Shane Waldron. Shane Waldron was the OC for the LA Rams, right, under Sean McVay. Well, Sean McVay liked to run a lot of 12 personnel, right? And then he switched to 11 personnel, but he likes to run a lot of wide zone boot. Shane Waldron went to Seattle, and he spread things out, right? So he put his own little wrinkle on it. So there's a little bit of that comes into play. Again, we're trying to grab at the closest thing that we think we'll see in the Jeff Hafley defense. But before we open up with all the information, going to be a ton of information. We're going to fire at you guys here. Jacob, you got anything you want to say before we get started here, man?
No, man. I'm really excited to test that rumble. All of a sudden,
I know that this rumble. This is M. Smitty. Bet money.
Probably, yeah.
He hit it with the he wants the swap name test. I was wrong. Dang it.
Nope, darn.
Good stuff. Cool though. I like it.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, here we go. Let's jump into it. First of all, I was reading through some articles, and let me just kind of give you guys a little brief glimpse into the cover three that Pete Carroll was running. Okay. It says Carroll's 4-3 was famous for playing cover three on the back end. The basic cover three drops the two outside corners into deep zone along with the free safety who plays center field. You guys heard that before? I'm just so happy to see an article where I'm not the only person on the face of the earth that refers to the free safety as center field. Because I think this is the first time I've ever heard anybody else say it. This system generally rushes four and has the linebackers and strong safety cover both the flats and the middle hook zones. As the league began to catch up to this scheme during Salah's time in San Francisco, the Niners DC decided to adapt, transforming into what the NFL world refers to as a cover three buzz. All right. In this variation of the 4-3, the outside corners show press coverage and either drop back when the ball is snapped or jam at the line and switch into a man-to-man look. One of the two safeties, usually the strong safety, also becomes what they refer to as the buzz defender and moves up into the middle of the defense rather than guarding the flat. So rather than the safety attacking the flat, he's going to buzz into the middle of the defense, which is what we call spinner, right? When we're talking about a cover three spinner, he's spinning kind of down into the box and covering that middle zone is essentially what's happening. All right, so the whole point is we've seen these same concepts. Jeff Hafley's not going to come in and call a defense that we all go, oh, my gosh, this is revolutionary. Guys, the game's been played for over 100 years. Everything's been used, and it keeps getting recycled and little you know, different looks here or there like they just talked about. They started giving a press man look at the line of scrimmage, even though they were still playing deep zone down the sidelines in that cover three, if that makes sense. So let's see here. The next one, it says the 4-3 linebackers. And this is what we're really going to key in on today is what will the linebackers look like in the Packers' new defense, okay? So let's start off with a 4-3 over, all right? Standard look with three linebackers behind a four-man front that is shifted into the strong side gaps of the offensive line, okay? So a 4-3 over, the D tackles are shifted to the strong side of the formation, the tight end side. The 4-3 under, a pass-rushing front that brings the strong side or Sam backer up to the line of scrimmage on the shoulder of the tight end, okay, alongside a defensive end. So you're bringing the Sam onto the line of scrimmage, and you're shifting everything over to the under approach. You're sliding the defensive tackles to the weak side of the formation, bringing the Sam up on the line, and typically the safety will creep into the box there too. A 4-3 bear. It's a run-heavy formation that sometimes calls up two linebackers into the edge of the defensive front, bringing up the strong safety alongside the remaining linebacker. So that's going to be more of a six-man front with one linebacker in the middle. That's what they refer to as a 4-3 bear. Okay. More specifically, the positional breakdowns follow these guidelines. Mike, middle linebacker, captain of the unit, and gap destroyer against the run. That sounds so damn cool, does it not? Yeah. Phil, the gap destroyer. Shut up, Emilio, you pervert. You know what I'm talking about. We got one in every village, people. I'm telling you. Against the run key, read defender, both pre-snap and at the heart of zone coverages. So that Mike linebacker is the most important aspect of a 4-3 defense. He is the captain in the middle. He's the guy who's going to be able to attack all different types of gaps. He's the guy who's going to need to go sideline to sideline. He's going to be the read defender, both pre-snap and at the heart of zone coverages. The Sam, the strong side linebacker known as the Sam, that usually matches up with the tight end in the passing game. Remember what I said earlier this morning on Good Morning Lambeau, or the deep hook zone. All right, assigned gap defender against the run that may also blitz on occasion. See, that's the way I've always looked at a Sam, is a Sam being a guy. He's got to be able to hold up at the point of attack on the strong side of the formation, but he's also got to be able to cover because you're kind of faced with covering that tight end a good chunk of time. Not always. The Will, the most athletic player in this group, is generally the weak side linebacker, known for his elite open field tackling on cutbacks and his zone coverage ability in the flats. When you hear athletic, you immediately think, Quay Walker, don't you, Jake?
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's what I'm excited most about, I guess, with this change, is to see how Quay Walker, I guess, thrives in this new system, or hopefully thrives in this new system. I mean, I want to see him, you know, it is weird that we didn't see him ever really come up and do any sort of pass rush, but when the few times that he did, he looked like he was a natural at it. So I'd love to see a little bit more of that, maybe some exotic blitzes and that kind of stuff. Absolutely. Also, Lewis, check it out. Shavink's in the house talking about midday PTAs.
What's up, Jake? Good to see you, buddy. Appreciate you swinging through. We're just in here geeking out over a little halfly defense, talking little X's and O's here, trying to get just a little pregame prep, if you will, to what we may or may not see here when we get into training
camp. Did you see this, Jacob?
Oh, Lord, look at Bates.
So
it's – yeah, you can go ahead and explain it, Jacob.
So, yeah, this is – guys, this is new. This is the first shot we went on Rumble today. We actually have 13 people somehow watching on Rumble right now, and United Bates just became a monthly supporter on Rumble. It's not showing up, though. It just shows maybe there's something lost in translation there. But, hey, it's kind of cool. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Look at this. I'm not sure what any of that means, just like on YouTube.
Daddy popped in just to let Jake know that he's a loser.
Well, we do. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Exactly. Good stuff. All right, man. Appreciate you, Bates. Like I said, this is all new. We're going to continue to move forward with Rumble, too, and see if we can figure out a way to maximize you guys and gals supporting the show, for sure. So, back to linebacker. Sam and Will, right? When you talk about occasionally blitzing, that sounds like Quay, right? But when you talk about the most athletic player in this group, that also sounds like Quay.
True.
Also, Quay played a lot of Mike last year, wore the green dot and all that stuff, right? So you could see Quay being the Mike. I feel like if Goody had to choose, he would want Quay to be the Mike, right? You invested that first-round talent. You want him to be the centerpiece of that defense. Again, time will tell, though. Maybe Halfley has a different view. Maybe they draft someone that they feel like, hey, he's more suited for the Mike position, right? So we'll see how that all unfolds. Go ahead, bro.
Quay's done green dot, right? Like, he's been in charge of that before?
Absolutely. All last year, to the best of my knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what makes you kind of think, all right, that's going to be your Mike. You know what I mean? Right. And he's got a pretty good, you know, pretty good height on him, too. And you want that Mike. If he can be a little bit taller covering the scene, that definitely helps as well, right?
Right. Yeah, we need Quay to be an Urlacher, you know, something like that, right? We need someone that's going to hold down the middle of the field, not afraid to stick his head in, and also not afraid to drop back and make a play on a ball if he has to, right? And I think he can do that. He's the athlete to do that. It's just we need some supporting cast around him that can take a little bit off his plate. You know, I think he was a little bit spread too thin, just trying to make too much happen with, you know, not enough time and space.
Absolutely. So the closest thing that we have, gang, to what we are predicting Halfley's defense to be, because we always hear him referred to as NFL friends, talking about Robert Saleh and some of his staff members. He was on the San Francisco staff when Saleh was in San Fran, right? Well, now Saleh's with the New York Jets. So let's start at the root of the source, right? Like, I would imagine Robert Saleh is probably the thing that Jeff Halfley is going to study the most. It just so happens that the Jets defense was one of the best in the league, right? So that's a good starting point, obviously. So when you look at the PFF grades from last year, I sorted it by overall team defense. The Jets had the highest graded defense in the entire league. Now, understand, that doesn't mean that it was the best scheme, although I think it's arguable that it is, right? It arguably is, I should say. But what it means is their players, according to PFF, were performing at the highest level across the entire National Football League from a defensive standpoint. All right, so that could be coaching. You could try to implement this same system and have bad coaching and not get the same result. You could try to implement this system with great coaching and a lot lesser talent and not get the same result, right? I think we would all like to agree that all the first-round talent that's been invested in this defense, I think that I'm hoping the talent is there, right? I think it is. I think they're going to make a pretty smooth transition. At least I'm hoping so. But you'll notice San Francisco is in third place there at 88.6. So it's kind of a common theme. You're running a very similar, if not exactly the same type defense, and you're in the top three of the highest graded defenses according to PFF. That's pretty cool, right? It gives you a lot of hope, I guess you should say. So with that being said, let's look at the individual grades from the New York Jets, okay? Now, I want you to key in. We sorted by overall defensive grade. Key in on linebackers here, okay? Where's the first linebacker? C.J. Mosley, 82.9. The second linebacker, Quincy Williams, 81.1. I mean, these guys are balling. Our highest graded linebacker last year was a 65, and it was Devondre Campbell, yeah. Next, you've got Chaz Surratt. What a cool name. Jake, I'm thinking about changing my name to Chaz, man. Chaz Michael Michaels, you know what I'm saying?
I like that.
But the problem is he only had 9 snaps. So you go down to the next one, it's Jamian Sherwood at 193 snaps. Notice that there's no one else close there as far as snap count when you look at the top-graded players, mm-hmm. right? That would suggest they were probably in nickel the majority of the time, right? Well, if you hop over to the 33rd team and look at their defensive identity, they were in nickel over 80% of the time, okay? Now, you might want to make a mental note of that. They tend to lean on nickel a little bit more than base. There's situations where a team will come out in 11 personnel and Robert Saleh says, I don't care, we're running nickel right here. You've seen other teams that would stay in a dime the majority of the time too. So that's something that Sean Payton's defense, when Greg Williams was the defensive coordinator in New Orleans years ago, he started implementing what they called a quarters package, but it was really a dime package where they would basically match an 11 personnel with a dime look. They would match a base personnel with a nickel look. And basically nickel is 5 DBs. You take a linebacker off the field, you put an extra DB on the field, whether it's a safety or a corner, right? And then the dime look is 6 DBs. You go one more DB, okay? So you only got one linebacker on the field. Now, let's look at the individual players. Let's key in on C.J. Mosley. The goal here is to say, okay, who was the Mike? Who was the Will? Who was potentially the Sam, right? And what's their size? Kind of what's their build? What are we looking for in a Mike linebacker in this Robert Saleh defense? Okay, and we're going to do the same thing with San Francisco too. So C.J. Mosley, obviously, if you look here on his weekly grades, look at the position, and it shows you he was the Mike all year long, okay? There are some people that think, oh, you know, you got to be 6'4 to play middle linebacker in the NFL. And it's, you know, yes, it's important to have more height, right? But you see C.J. Mosley's just 6'2". He's 6'2", 231. So that's the first measurement I'm going to put down here is 6'2", 231. And we're going to kind of see what the average is amongst these different positions. But, again, he played the mic, played it well, too. 6'2", 231. He was a former first-round pick. So you can see they put – one of these, high draft capital guys right there in the middle of this 4-3 defense. Let's move on to Quincy Williams, okay? Quincy Williams, 5'11", 225. Do you have something, Jacob?
No, I didn't know that Quincy was that small.
Isn't it wild? Because I'm telling you, man, all anybody talks about is, well, he's not big enough to play that position, especially draft time. And there are some cats out there that they thrive on that. Like their specialty is, nope, that's not a Goody guy. Nope, that's not a Packer guy. They said it about Devontae Wyatt a couple years ago that he was, nope, he's too old, not a Packer. And Ryan stood on the table screaming about it. I remember he was the best on my board. Now, I don't care if he's a year older. It's amazing. You draft somebody when they're 21. Well, it's going to take a couple years. He's young. You draft once when, or you look at a prospect when they're 23 or 24. Well, he's a little old. What are we like?
Yeah, no, exactly. And have you ever even watched a Jets game? Like these linebackers are flying around, like absolutely flying around the ball. They break quickly. They make decisions fast and they move, man. And they're thumpers too, right? They want to land the hit. They're the middle of the field. They got to protect that. And then in turn, how many picks did Josh Allen throw? What, the first night? 3 picks, you know, just because we're all over them, right? So it's, yep. You know, it's kind of that aggressive mentality, but, you know, don't play crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, when you play a 4-3, one of the positives to it is it allows you to play more one gap, right? And it allows the defensive line to just focus on one gap. And that means they can be aggressive. Like we talked about on the morning show, they can attack the run on their way to the quarterback. You see what I'm saying? Like they're playing the run to the quarterback is how it's been described to me, as opposed to engage, control 2 gaps in some cases with the 34 jam, and you're a bigger body guy, so you don't have that quickness. These defensive linemen, some of them are a little bit smaller in a 4-3, because you've got three stacked backers behind you. What it allows the backers to do is to play fast. That's what Jeff Hafley's talking about in playing fast. I think he meant two things. I think he meant the defensive line can really focus on their gap, therefore penetration right off the snap, and the linebackers will have a little more success getting to the ball, right, rather than holding the point of attack. I know Ryan and I have talked about this numerous times, how it just feels like the backers are just standing there. They're just standing there. They're not really attacking. It's like, why are you not attacking the football, right? And I have a hard time believing the coaches are going, nope, listen, I know you can see who has the ball, Quay. Just stand there, okay? Just wait a couple seconds. Like, that makes no sense whatsoever against the run, right? So, again, I think that's going to benefit the linebackers and allow them to play fast. Now, when you look at Quincy Williams, look at his position. Weak side, Mike. And I don't have the last three weeks there. But you see, that was your Will Backer in this defense. So mark it down. Will Backer, 5'11", 225. Some people were going, Clayton's trying to make a case for Jeremiah Trotter Jr. I'm just saying, if the only reason we're not going to take him is because he's smaller, here's a perfect example of a guy who's a third-round pick, the 98th selection, that's turned into a darn good Will Backer, right? So there you go. Quincy Williams is your Will Backer with the Jets. Now, we're looking for Sam, right, guys? We're looking for Sam. Here's the next guy with the most snaps, right? Look at here. Will, left outside linebacker. Will, left outside linebacker. Will, all the way down, right? Why did it not say Sam? Because I'm telling you, it's few and far between that someone is a primary Sam linebacker in today's game. I'm going to show you on the tape here in a minute some still shots of the box cam too and really tie this together. But so you're in nickel 80% of the time if you're the Jets. And when you are in base, they're referring to him as a left outside linebacker. They're not referring to it as a Sam, right? He primarily lined up on the left side regardless of where the tight end was, right? So that's just, again, we're highlighting this because Jeff Hafley's defense will probably be a lot like Robert Salas. Okay. Now, you guys got anything up to this point?
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
No. Good.
Okay. If you do, you just cut me off, okay, because I'm just going to roll and you just jump right in. His size, right? Another Will Backer. This probably would have been the closest thing to a Sam in this defense. 6'2", 216. Does that not seem light to you boys?
Yeah, that's very light.
Yeah. So
lighten the britches, but my man can tackle, right? He only had two bad games in tackling. And I think that's another thing that, you know, it's not, let alone him specifically, you know, individually tackling, but the team effort of everyone hats to the ball, you know, finish a play. We're, you know, until he's down, until that whistle blows, we're playing 100%, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Carly Ray asked a question here. Says, is it important for Mike linebacker to be able to swivel their hips and change direction quickly? Absolutely. They've got to be sideline to sideline. Did you hear her?
I'm on
puppy duty here. So Mandy went ahead and went over to Kentucky today to see family and everything. And Edda is not happy with our tone here. So I apologize for the lady, my bad. So it is important because that mock's got to be able to flow in both directions. One reason that in a 4-3 defense, the Will and the Sam, specifically the Will, is able to quote-unquote play fast is because they're just playing half the field, and they've got the athleticism to take care of the cutback lanes if they need to, right? But they're just looking at half the field essentially, right? Like, okay, I don't have to do anything, you know, superhuman on the strong side of the formation if I'm the Will, right? Just focus on doing your job. The mock, you got to be able to, again, what it said earlier, talking about patrolling those gaps, being able to make quick decisions, right? And you've got to have the ability to turn and go, like you're talking about, swiveling the hips, change direction quickly, right? So, yeah, great question there, Carly. Let's see here. Jake Shavink said, geez, even Jamie and Sherwood playing well, impressive. It takes it takes a lot of stress off of the linebackers, I feel like, and allows them to play fast, Jake. That's what I'm coming up with anyway, man. All right, so let's see here. Silver Fox in the chat said, the people who are paid to talk about things end up making up things to talk about, like types. It's their content of the moment. I think there's a little bit of truth in that, Silver Fox. That's a cool name, too. Even cooler profile pic. Look at that right there, boys. Yeah, you know where that's at, Emilio? Is that down there next to Maryville or not? Probably.
Yeah, yeah, no, that looks like Colorado, but it could be the top of Lookout. Who knows?
Hey, speaking of Colorado, what about Mo Kamara? Have you gotten a chance to look at him, Clayton? He's a little bit undersized. I'm going to say he's like 6'1". But he's a man. I watched some of his highlight reel, and he's a little monster. Talking about guys that are a little bit undersized that could possibly be a good fit. He might be one to check out.
What a do me a, Jacob.
Yeah, do me a favor, Jacob. Write that down. Write that name down. And when we get through with San Francisco, we're going to go through the draft and kind of look at some different sizes of linebackers. That's one we'd like to check out from Jay, for sure. I think
he's more of an edge, but yeah.
Might be able to fill that Sam role, maybe. So
possibly, yeah.
All right, here we go. Let's see. Let's move on to San Francisco here real quick. Okay. San Francisco. Here is their I thought I had their overall team grade too. Maybe I didn't. I guess I didn't grab it. Here is their just overall grades as player. Well, they were third. We had it, yeah. We talked about it, didn't we? Right here. They were third in overall defensive grade. Yeah. So there you go. When we go to their snaps and everything and where players played, Fred Warner, we sorted this by snaps, had 1,200 snaps, okay? His grade, 89.8. The next backer with the most snaps, Dre Greenlaw. You guys seen him pop that Achilles in the Super Bowl. Horrible watch. Guys suck so bad, man. He had 999 snaps. His grade, 73.1. Okay, that's 8 points higher than Devondre Campbell, our highest graded linebacker that's seen significant time. The next linebacker, Oren Burks, he had 433 snaps, his grade 58.9. So he played like doo-doo, but still 433 snaps. Okay. Then you got Demetrius Flanagan Foles. He had 174 snaps. His grade was a 55.1. So let's focus on the top three, because that's probably going to be your primary 4-3 linebackers, right? Fred Warner, notice the position. Mock, all the way down, right? That was the true mock in San Francisco's defense. So what's his size, Jacob? 6'3", 230, right? That's kind of that prototypical top that you're looking for, right? 6'3", 230.
4'6", 440.
Yeah. Isn't it wild? We see these 40 times. Oh, he ran 4'6". He's slow. You got the best linebacker in the game right now. Ran a 4'6", 4". And drafted in the third round, by the way. So all right, so that mock 6'3". So far, the two mocks we've identified, 6'2", 231, 6'3", 230. 230 standing out, right? That's probably you want a guy a little bit thicker, 230 pounds at a minimum to play mock.
Right.
Let's go to Will. Dre Greenlaw, okay? You notice it's Will. So it looks like he was Will all season long other than two games where he's probably filling in for Fred Warner, honestly. Whether he was off the field, you know, with an injury momentarily or what have you, or maybe missed a couple games. Dre Greenlaw is your Will backer. Remember, our Will backer at the Jets was 5'11", 225, right? Dre Greenlaw, 6', 230. So you see, you don't have to be a monster to play backer, to play Will backer, right? So it's kind of feeling like, on the surface, Quay Walker is our mock. If you just go from a size standpoint, you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. All right. So, and again, Dre Greenlaw, pretty solid linebacker, right? He was drafted in the fifth round, by the way. So keep that in mind. Yeah, here we go. Jake Shavink says 4'6", 4" is in the 81st percentile for linebackers. Wow. There you go. All right. Let's move on to Oren Burks. Appreciate that information, Jake. Thank you, buddy. Oren Burks. Obviously, he was drafted by the Packers. Didn't pan out. That's a face only a mother could love. I wouldn't say it to his face. Man, right there, looks like he fell out of the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down. Notice, remember how with the Jets, when we got to the third backer, it would say Will, left outside linebacker, right? Notice here, Will, right outside linebacker. Will, Mike, Will Mock. So you're seeing a little bit of OLB. That's probably going to be what you would refer to as a Sam backer in this defense, would be my guess. Okay. His size, 6'3", 233. I'm not going to list him as a Sam because it doesn't specifically say Sam, and we're going to roll the tape here in a minute and show you guys what we mean by that. But as a Will backer, he would be listed as 6'3", 233. So you can see the ideal weight is definitely 200 or 230 pounds, ain't it, fellas? I mean, it's every one of these guys, it seems like, other than the third linebacker, I guess, that was also listed as a Will with the Jets was 6'2", 216, a little bit light there, a little loose in the loafers, if you know what I mean. All right, so with that being said, we got all that covered, right? We've got our average weights. Mock, 6'2", 231, 6'3", 230. Will, 5'11", 225, 6'2", 216, 6 foot even, 230 pounds, 6'3", 233 pounds. Okay, so your Will can be a little bit smaller. Your Mock is typically 6'2", 6'3", about 230 pounds. Now, let's pull up the Telestrator here real quick. All right, and let's just kind of take a look at how they deployed. I didn't do entire games. I picked two games where the defense played pretty well. I didn't want to cherry pick a bad game and be like, oh, this is why it doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? It's not the point of this exercise isn't to say this is a good move or a bad move. It's just to simply show you how they're lining up. Okay. So here's the Jets against the Raiders. All right. And this set right here, it seems to be an 11 personnel is what it looks like to me, with a little nasty split there on one side or the other. They're in a 4-3 defense. So let's identify these guys real quick, right? Right here, you've got our boy, what was his name? C.J. Mosley, right? There's your Mock, okay? I can't remember their names now, but here's 44, okay? Which is, I don't have them wrote Wilson, down. Right? What is it?
Isn't it Wilson or
Quincy?
Or Quincy, yeah, Quincy Williams.
Quincy's 56. I do know that for sure, okay? So that's the other guy there. How would you like to be known as the other guy, right? So look at what they're playing here. Let's identify what they're playing. And again, there's a good chance this is what Halfley's defense is going to look like. There's your tight end. That's the strong side of the formation, right? Notice the two D tackles, right? They're shaded to the strong side. That's what we call a 4-3 over. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
You're going 4-3 over right here. And the Will is even cheating to the strong side. Right. He's still on the weak side, but you could tell he's not over here helping cut. He's kind of bending towards the strong side. A lot of times what will happen is from game to game, your game plan will change because some teams like to run a lot of weak side. Some teams like to run a lot of strong side. Right. So essentially what you've got here is the Mock, the Will, because it's opposite the tight end. And then that's technically your Sam backer. So in this situation, they had him listed as a Will, but he's really on the strong side of the formation. That's what I was referring to with PFF and saying they don't really acknowledge a Sam. And I think the reason being is because everyone and their mama has talked about a Sam backer comes up here on the line of scrimmage. He's going to be on the tight end side, but he also takes away the run at the point of attack, right? And that's not what you're seeing here. They're stack backers. I think they're referring to all of them as Wills, but that would technically be your Sam right there. Okay. So essentially what you got is your Mock, right? You got your Will, and you got your Sam. And this is what we call a four. This writing is going to be horrible, man, with a mouse. 4-3 over, right?
Nice.
Look at that, man. Like a third grader.
And the admissions right now don't have their hand in the dirt, right? Obviously they can.
What are you trying to say, Emilio?
Right. I'm just saying they're standing up right now, but they can put their hand in the dirt if needed. But even still, we got a wide nine. It's not like we lost everything, right? Rashawn Gary can still do everything he's been doing. So compressed. And
great eye, dude. That's exactly. It's another thing we wanted to point out was many people are, they're just expecting it's just going to be, now we finally get four down linemen, so they can't run the ball all over us. These are going to be the same guys. That's going to be, Rashawn Gary, that's going to be Preston Smith. And there's going to be times that they stand up. And I'll tell you why I feel so confident in saying that. Go watch the BC tape. I went back and watched the Boston College Florida State game where they took Florida State right down to the wire, right? And he had them on, and this is a 4-3 base, guys. This isn't a nickel set, right? Like they've got three linebackers on the field right here. And it's rare that the Jets did this last year. So that's what I'm saying is like, even in a 4-3 base, they've got the outside, the edge defenders standing up. That's what Matt LaFleur was talking about last year. Like, you guys are exposing yourself, saying you only play them with two down linemen. These are defensive ends, is what they are. They're just standing up. So, and again, when you're talking about an over, this would be kind of a typical look for an over, a 4-3 over. He's actually playing, right? This is what you would refer to as a 2-eye. Why is it a 2-eye? That's your guard. If you were directly over the guard, it would be a 2. But he's on the inside shoulder of the guard. That's what you call a 2-eye. If he was lined up right here, that's what you would call a 1-tech, right? If he was over the center, it would be a 0-tech, right? Right here would be a 1-tech, okay? If you were on the inside shoulder of the guard, that's a 2-eye, right? And then you would have, yeah, your traditional 1. And then, of course, you got your 3s and then your 4-eyes. We played a lot of 4-eyes. So in this particular 4-3 over, and we're going to go a lot quicker on the other plays here, but in this particular 4-3 over, what you essentially have is a 2-eye right here, right, and a 4-eye. How many times did we play that last year, guys? We showed this look so many times. Now, against base personnel, if this were a situation where it was 12 personnel, we would have a 34 jam, right? And we would have another bigger body playing nose. We would line up more like this with our defensive linemen. These arrows would represent defensive linemen, and then you'd still have your wide nines on the outside. So that's why the 34 is typically better at stopping the run than the 4-3 defense is. It's just the 4-3 defense. To me, it's more about forcing turnovers and putting a stack backer back there to help in coverage and clean up those run fields. So, anything off this slide here before I move on, Jacob?
Not particularly on this slide. We just had a super chat in Rumble, but it doesn't show up as a super chat, so we'll have to figure that out. It was a $5 one for the United Bates, just simply saying, rant test, go Pack, go.
Appreciate you, Bates. Appreciate you so much, man. Thank you for identifying that, Jacob. We got to figure out exactly how it works. I know I did get a notification from Rumble that they're still in kind of the beta testing, linking everything up to StreamYard. So I have to go in and create the link separately and then attach it. And they're trying to get it to where we can just create the link once and it attaches it. So hopefully those super chats will start showing up and we don't miss any. But Bates, thank you so much for supporting the channel, buddy. We appreciate you. Let's see. I want to get to the next slide. I know I screwed this up when I was trying to time them right. Okay, so here's another look. Here's another 4-3 look, too. Notice this. So you got a 4-3. What is this? Looks like a 4-3 over, right, Emilio?
Yep.
Remember what you were talking about just now? Now their hands are in the dirt, right?
Ready to go, right? That's more of a San Francisco kind of look where they're in that track stance, ready to drive.
Bingo. And you've got the 4-3 over. We know it's an over because this D-tackle is shaded to the strong side, right? Everybody shifted to the strong side. They probably seen on tape that they ran a lot of strong side runs. Now, again, here's your wheelbacker 44. There's your Mike. There would be your Sam. Now, this right here might be where he was referred to as an outside linebacker because this guy's hands in the dirt now. He's not technically a linebacker. This might have been one of those situations where he was considered left outside linebacker. Remember, we read that in the snap count. That would make sense. Now, another thing to notice, too, look at number 3 getting down here in the box, right? That's what we're talking about with playing spur or rotating into the box. You know, we're expecting this to be McKinney out here. Who's going to be this guy? That's the question, right? Who's going to be number 3 and be that guy that plays in the box? Could it be Tyler Newbin if you draft him? I hope so. I think he would fit that role pretty good. Got good size.
DTB from Texas Tech.
Who did you say, Emilio?
Dadrian Taylor Demerson from Texas. Or go. Texas Tech. Man. He's a stomper. Yeah, DTD, man.
Who was yours, Jacob?
I mean, mine's got always be Bullock. For sure.
Bullard, right?
Bullard or Bullock, yeah.
Oh, here we go, Clayton, real quick. I did get – that's Bates. That's the super chat. It did happen. We're not lying. Appreciate you, Bates. You're the man. Just wanted to make sure everyone believed him on that.
There you go. Yeah. Appreciate you, man. Thanks for showing up. All right, so in this look here, 4-3 over, right? The last one would technically would have been probably a 2-4. It would have been what would that have been? 2 down linemen, and you technically had 5 linebackers, right? That's wild, yeah. Man. That would technically have been a 5-2 if you're really talking about hand in the dirt, not in the dirt. And that's where you can get lost in the shuffle. It doesn't matter. What matters is edge defenders, right? Guys on the line of scrimmage, how many people are in the box, all those things.
And you know what it does? It makes the offensive line have to think a little bit longer too, right? And instead of having a guy straight up from you or in the, you know, 3-eye or 4-eye, whatever, you've got, you know, two outside nines. Are they down? Are they up? Remember when, you know, we used to have the NASCAR package. Everyone's bouncing around, walking around. Nobody knows, you know, who's going, where they're coming from. Yep. And that's just that little bit of complexity that the defense can add to try to confuse that offense.
Absolutely, man. Thing I will say that coaches I've talked to, I've said, does it really make a difference with your hand in the dirt? And they said, absolutely. Absolutely it does. So they seem to think that, hey, you know, forget the manipulation. We're just going to rush the quarterback and we're going to stop the run out of the three-point stance. They said it makes a world of difference stopping the run. So let's hope that that's the case this year for sure. All right, let's roll it forward a little bit here. Get to the next slide. Come on, there we go. All right. So this next look, now we're in a nickel look. All right, right. You can see it right off the bat. We're in a nickel look. Now they're in four down linemen. Okay, so they're going to be playing what we call a nickel 4-2-5. Now, where's the strong side of the formation? There's Michael Mayer. There's your strong side. So this would technically be your will right here, which is who? It's Mosley. Our boy Mosley, right? Yeah. That would technically be your will, and this would be the mock. Because typically when you take a backer off the field, the only thing that's left is a mock and a will. Most of the time, the mock will shade to the strong side and the will stay on the backside. So they got a little bit interchangeable. If someone refers to this as a Sam, I'm not going to argue with them. There's your Sam. There's your Mike. Okay, cool. But I know there's many people that watch the tape that go, no. You'll never have a Sam on the field and not have a will on the field. It's Mike Will or Mike Will and Sam. That makes sense. I'm saying all this because there's going to be people try to argue with each other all football season coming up. Don't waste your time on it. Don't waste your time arguing about it. It means two backers, okay? That's what it means. There's two stack backers on the field. So, and again, you see threes kind of creeping up toward the box. This is still more of your free safety approach right here. Look at that big wide nine, just like we did last year, right? This is more of a, I guess this would technically be if the tight end was attached, it'd be more of a seven tech than a wide nine. So they're showing a little bit of offset there. So just
one, and they're in nickel and five wide too, right, Clayton? So we have no back in the backfield. Everyone's you know out in formation. And I mean, even if Quincy is the Mike, right? I still think that even if Quay was the Mike, we would have him in the middle and we would have the coverage guy out there. But unless Halfley's got his eye on a linebacker that can be. That can be Mosley, you know, then we're good. That's the problem is if the mic always has to be in the center and not, you know, shade to the strong side, not able to do those little things, we need to find someone that's able to, you know, be Quay's, you know, helper, not hinder him.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And it's important to notice, too, when he said five wide guys, for those of you on the pod, Josh Jacobs is flexing out. So they were in 11 personnel. They came out in a sidecar, and they shifted him out wide, okay, Josh Jacobs. Who's our new running back? Kind of cool, right? They split him out wide. Jacob, yeesh. So they split him out wide. Now you're in an empty set. So you're still in your nickel 4-2-5 look, but you're really covering five receivers, right? And that's why it's important to have, you know, those backers with flexibility that can actually cover. So, all right, let's move on to the next one here. I know we got some San Fran coming up here in a second. So here's another one. This is your nickel, right? Now, notice out here, though, right? Look, he's standing up. This guy's down. So you got three down linemen, right, and three stack backers. So let's just identify what's technically the linebackers, right? You see how silly it is. Like, this is an edge defender. He's a pass rusher is what he is. Now, he may drop into coverage, right? It's going to happen. I know people are going to freak out like they did on Joe Barry when Preston Smith ends up dropping into coverage from time to time. Again, if Halfley was willing to drop the nose tackle into coverage against Florida State when he was at BC, I think it's fair game to say that our edge defenders are going to fire zone blitz occasionally. They're going to drop into coverage when we run fire zone blitzes. But this right here, this technical look will be a form of a 3-3-5 look, right? Not of the Cubs standard, but kind of a 3-3-5 over is kind of what the look would be. You see what I'm saying? So 335 over is what they refer to that. And again, you can get kind of lost in all this, and most of it is pointless to try to even point out, but you're going to hear these terms. We just want you to kind of get familiar with what they are. And again, this is definitely a nickel set. So I would refer to this as a nickel 2-4-5, and that's your two edge defenders. That's the easiest way to do it. It's a nickel 2-4-5. They're in an over front. They're shaded to the strong side of the formation. That's a strong side. You notice this tackle is closer to the tight end. This guy's shaded to towards the one tech or the A gap from the offense's perspective. So, all right. So there's that. Now I think we're going to get into some San Fran here in just a second. I can't remember how
real quick, Clayton. We did have another super chat from Memes Z9 or Meme Z9. I believe that's actually Manoa. Just saying that he said, I wish I could do more, but you guys deserve all the my entertainment dollar. So it is not showing up on the super chats or on our chat coming through here on StreamYard, but just letting you know, we do see that. So appreciate it.
And it is on the screen here. Appreciate you, Manoa.
Thank you all so much. And listen, don't feel obligated to do that game. Okay. You guys keep mentioning it, like, you know, that you want to do it. And I really, really thank you. Just don't feel obligated. Okay. We're trying to get everything, all the bases covered. So, you know, if for some reason this doesn't work out with YouTube, we've got Rumble to fall back on. We still got Twitter. We just want to make sure that we're giving you guys the content. That's the thing. But thank you so much, Mano. You're awesome, dude. All right. This is a cool look. Check this one out. I remember putting this one in now. Who's your down lineman here, boys? Remember, 11 was just now playing edge, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Right? So now he's in the B gap. Okay. So look at your big boys. Where's your big boy lineman at? They're right here. So they've got their biggest defensive line. They're doing right here with Williams, not Quincy Williams, but his brother. I can't remember his first name.
Really good.
Quinnen. Yeah. Quinnen.
He is elite, dude. He is unbelievable.
But remember how Kansas City would move Chris Jones around and put him in a five and or put him in a seven and a nine tech. This is what you got right here. You put him out here. Typically what happens is an offense will try to build their whole game plan around double teaming people like Quinnen Williams. Well, when you put him out here in a wide nine, guess what? It's impossible. You can't double him, right? And especially with when you got what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys on the line of scrimmage with a spur creeping around, rotating into the box. I mean, this is a pretty cool look here. Right. So essentially what you got is your two down linemen, right? Actually, three down linemen if you want to count 47. And then you got three guys standing up, and you got Mosley who's mugging the center right now. If you're trying to block this, okay, if you're trying to block this from the offense's perspective, this is essentially what you're doing. You're going to come out and you got to ID the mic. Where is the impact point of this pass rush? And it's all about counting the numbers, right? You got to account for everyone. He's going to account for him. He's going to account for him. The center's got to account for the mock, whether he's blitzing or not. He's got him, right? He's got him. Now, if Mayer is going out in a route, remember in Dallas when Jordan Love came in and basically told the Y to stay safe, change the play, Y stay safe. He hammered Dontavian Wicks down the seam. If he's still going out in a route, he being Michael Mayer right here, guess what that means? You've got a free runner, okay? And a free runner is always on the quarterback. He's got to know, that's my guy. Whoever the free runner is, that's my guy. The protection will always be set. Every single time it'll be set to block from the guard's end because that's the quickest route to the quarterback. You want zero free runners inside the guards. You're willing to give up a free runner on the outside, but you got to know where your hot is, right? So we don't have the play to play here. That's not the point of doing this exercise, but I believe, if I remember correctly, Mosley actually bails out. So he bails out and covers zone out here, okay?
Right.
So what you essentially have is he's occupying the center, right? Blocked. This guy's blocking no one, and all three of these guys are blitzing. If Mayer goes out in a route, then you got a free runner on the right side, and this center's standing here scratching his butt.
Right, and that's exactly what we were saying. We're making the offense think more. And kind of, Randy, we were talking about it earlier. Do you think they might run that psycho set where everyone is standing up? A little bit of that here, right? And it's not even it doesn't have to be, you know, Williams in the middle, things like that. Everyone can bounce around. You can have everyone kind of land in anywhere, right? And it's just it's making that offense think. And when he backs out, you know, so does the right tackle, you know, kick out, or do we just let him fly maybe the center pulls. Remember when Josh Myers kind of pulled right or something like that? Yep. Maybe it really depends on how their protection is set up and how they want to attack that free runner.
Absolutely, especially against an empty set, you know. And, you know, the other thing is, too, what's number three doing right here, right? Number three is probably getting down here where he can take that hot away. If I'm the quarterback here, there's one of two options, okay? You got to select one of two options. You either tell him to stay safe, so you got a hat on a hat in the pass blocking, right? Or you make sure that he knows he's got to go hot. And what going hot means, as soon as the ball snapped, as he starts downfield, he's going to keep eyes on the quarterback and be ready to just get open real quick and give him a safety valve, because there's going to be a free runner coming from one of these three guys, right? So if that's the case, how do you combat that from a defensive standpoint? Get up in this guy's face. Take away the hot. Don't let him have the hot. You got a free runner. Take away the easy aspect. Now, he may be looking. You see he's looking right here. I think that's Hunter Renfro. That may be his hot. He may be telling him to go hot because 22 is so far off. Now, there may be a corner just off screen too. But
And Mosley would have to be the one to cover that hot, right? If he's able to get out into that drop, how far is it? Right, exactly. How's he going to be able to reach over there?
This guy right here needs to read and react. He's going to have to pin off the inside, reroute the inside. Now, if he runs a smoke route, they've got you. You know what I mean? You got to get the arms up on the edge from a defensive standpoint, but they could run a little smoke and hit that. That could be a hot. You can go hot with a smoke route too. This guy pins him off on the inside. Mosley occupies the center, drops back into coverage. He's got to go looking for work. He can take away that quick hot right here. For sure. So, yeah. Yeah, it's just interesting to see the different philosophies in the defense. Now, I think we're going to get into some San Fran here. So you've seen kind of some different looks that the New York Jets show. Let's look at San Francisco's look here, right? And this was unfortunately against the Packers, but I wanted to get the most recent tape from them for sure. So what they're showing here, obviously, these are four down linemen, right? They're not standing anybody up. There's the big Bosa boy out there out mm-hmm. wide. That Tom made him his little, I won't say it, but you know. So right here, you've got a 4-3 defense, right? There's Fred Warner. That's your mic. Let me get this off here real quick. Probably better stay blue here. There's your mic. All right, where's the strong side of the formation? There's your tight end. So that makes Greenlaw technically your Sam, and Oren Burks is your Will in this specific play. That makes sense? Right. And notice this. They're playing shell coverage, guys. Everyone's just expecting that, okay, no longer are we going to play two safeties on the shelf. There's a reason that Devondre Campbell and Darnell Savage are not Green Bay Packers, and it's not just because of their play, okay? Jason Wilde said he spoke to Darnell Savage on his way out the door, and he did not like how he was deployed in the Joe Barry defense, right? Devondre Campbell seems to think that he went and talked to LaFleur and they fixed the problem, and then the second that Joe Barry's gone, you think, okay, if that's the case and Dre's staying, well, they get rid of Dre too, because they're probably looking up and going, look, dude, if this guy ain't going to shut up and do what we're trying to tell him to do, there's a reason that Matt LaFleur defended Joe Barry all year too. I don't think he disagreed with the philosophy, but we can all agree the execution wasn't there, and that does fall on the DC too. But the fact that you got rid of Savage and Devondre Campbell, you're probably still going to still see a little bit of this right here. I hope there's a lot less, but you'll probably still see some of that shell coverage. What we mean by shell coverage on the pod there, guys, is two safeties on the shelf, two safeties deep, split safety set. They still got to fit into this run fit, even though they're safeties, right? And they're so far off the line of scrimmage. So, again, just wanted to identify, there's your Mike, there's your Sam, there's your Will, okay? That's how that lines up. Any questions on that? Anything stick out to you guys? Because actually on this play, this is an under. No, it ain't. I'm sorry. This is an over.
Well, they got the double tight end set, right? So you have to shade to the strong side. It's do you double shade, right? Are you pulling over? But they still have two D linemen on the left side and one backer, right? And then we swung the other backer over, but there's the gaps between the right side D linemen. Those are you can drive a bus through those lanes right now, right? But yeah, it's all about the backers, you know, reading, reacting. If it's a run play, are we gonna close that gap and fill those holes?
Yeah, and you ain't going to find anybody that reads and reacts better than this dude right here, Fred Warner. If we can get us a mock for the middle of this 4-3 defense, the way San Francisco found Fred Warner, whew. Jacob, any questions, any comments up at this point, bub?
No, I mean, it's just watching this, I think it's been very clear that the Packers have lacked really dominant linebacker play for, gosh, I don't know. I mean, I think AJ Hawk was drastically underrated.
I agree. Yeah.
We had, you know, times where like Nick Barnett was our okay, but we really have been lacking dominant middle linebacker. I would just say linebacker play for a long time.
Yeah. And, you know, it's worth noting too, Nick Barnett was the last Mike linebacker when we played a 4-3 defense. So AJ always played in a 34, right? Devondre had that one great year. He was in the 34, right? So it's important to kind of make a mental note of that too. I think Clay Matthews, didn't Clay Matthews played Mike there one year too, didn't he, down the stretch there toward the end? They moved him to inside.
Yeah, I think they did ask him to do that. Do you remember when Nick Barnett had that club on his hand?
Yeah.
He was just running around, just absolutely taking it to people. Man, dudes.
He had the mouthpiece with the vampire fangs. Oh, yes. That. Yeah, I like Nick Barnett. Nick Beats, right? He's a DJ, they said. All right, let's see. All right, here's a different look. This looks to be a nickel set here, and this is kind of unique. Everybody attacks this look different, okay? This is what you call a – I'm not trying to be perverted here. This is technically what you call it, okay? This is what you refer to 11 nasty nub, strong left, okay? And all the 10-year-olds giggle in the back of the class. Right? So what does that mean? When you've got the only target on one side of the formation is a tight end and he's attached to the line, even if they're detached, I still refer to it as a nub. That's called a nub tight end, okay? You got Luke Musgrave there. He's your nub, all right? Here you've got a bunch set, and they're in the nasty split. They're all inside the numbers. So you would call this bunch nasty nub left is what you would call this, okay? Now, how did they approach it? They went, and it's 11 personnel, 11 bunch nasty nub left. They attacked it with a nickel defense, all right? And it's a nickel 4-2-5 defense, they being the San Francisco 49ers. So here are your four down linemen, right? And we would call that front, if we were in a 4-3, we would refer to that. It's really not even an over, is it, Emilio? It's pretty even. It's pretty – yeah, I guess it would technically slightly be an overlook.
Right. But I was kind of looking more along the lines of the hat count, and it looks like, I mean, they are way overloaded on the offense's left side, defense's right there.
Yep.
I mean, absolutely, we have them outnumbered.
Yep, absolutely. It's a good point there. So who are your backers in this situation? Fred Warner, right? He technically would be the Will, and that would be your Mike, right? You see what I'm saying? So if they're still identifying him as the Will – or as the Mike, and this is the Will, that's where PFF is just, they do things a little different. You could say that this is technically the Sam. But the other thing to notice here, too, because they know we like to run out of this bunch nasty sets, look at the safeties in the box down here, Jacob. You seeing this? They're not waiting on anything.
That's 7-8 yards off the ball. I mean, they are
7-8 yards off the ball. Yep.
Yeah. Now, me, if I was playing Madden right now, I'd just hit that old hot route, and I'd say, hey, Jaden, why don't you give him a little wiggle and hit that seam? No,
you'd send Jaden on the quick slant, you'd send Christian Watson deep, and whoever, wherever the safety
walk him out. Walk him out. You're saying a little slant.
Uh-huh.
And give him a little outside shoulder wiggle and hit that seam.
Oh, boy.
Man, Jaden. Fire me up, man. So, anyway. Just wanted to point out, this is how they approach the nickel set. They're being really aggressive, putting the safeties in the box. You may see some of that. I guarantee you, Halfley, as soon as he got in the building, he said, once he got through grading his own players and letting Goody know, I like this guy, I like that guy. Okay, yeah, we can do without that. We need this at this position. I guarantee you, he said, bring me every bit of San Francisco 49ers, New York Jets game tape you got. And right. Let's start copying like a son of a gun.
And you know what's wild is we looked at the three Jets ones, right? And the past two San Francisco ones, they've been in the track stance, right? Hand in the dirt, ready to go. But we have the option. It's not like we're handcuffed to only standing up or only putting our hand in the dirt. And that lets, you know, Rashawn and Preston do whatever they want that they feel comfortable with, you know, in that play. We're not trying to make you a robot, but we also need you to, you know, make a decision on the field.
Yeah, it's a great point, man. You can see, though, San Francisco, they are firmly 3- and 4-point stances, right?
Look at like Bosa.
Yeah. Dude, that dude's wild, man. He's absolutely wild.
Look this who he lined across. Absolutely, Chuck Norris is ready to just, you know, fist through the beard sort of thing.
Chuck Norris right here. Like Tuck Norris, like, wow, I'll smack him. Yeah. All right, so in this look here, they're in a nickel again, right? Now they're in a single high look. Remember we showed you Shell a second ago? We just showed you a nickel set where they have both safeties down there in the box. Now you've got a single high safety. I think this is what you're going to see the majority of with Halfley. I think when he's talking about playing fast, it goes without saying the backers can play fast, a little bit quicker, a little bit faster in the 4-3 as opposed to the 3-4. But I think he's going to have people get lined up pre-snap, no pre-snap sugar, no show and shell 90% of the time, and rotating to single high. It's not fooling anyone. Let's get in our spot and play fast. That way you don't have to get to your spot, then react to what the offense is doing. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I think this will be kind of a normal look. We're in a nickel here. And, of course, this is a strong right from the offense's perspective. So that would technically make and the reason I think Mike and Will is because it's been described to me that the Mike is going to shade toward the strong side. And he's going to be more responsible for covering a tight end, right, when you're in a nickel set. So that would definitely be your Mike. That would be your Will as opposed to a Sam and a Mike. So I think that's why PFF is just getting away from Sam because, again, Sam, I read the description, right? Yeah. Sam Backer is described as someone who plays on the line of scrimmage, can play the run, but also occasionally rush the passer. You don't see that with this solid style defense, right? And in San Francisco, obviously last year as well. What you see is you've either got your defensive lineman up there or you're playing stack backers, or you may occasionally bring in an extra edge defender to rush that A gap like we seen just a second ago with number 11. So
on and the to your point, Clayton, about them flying around to the ball, again, back to the hat count, look at the line down Myers, right? We have three on the weak side of the offensive line, the left side of the offense, but allowing those backers to play freely and fast, you know, Greenlaw's got to be ready to come across, right? He's got his eye on Aaron Jones. Hey, I got to get across three bodies just to even get to them.
Yep.
Right. So they got to make those decisions fast and make that choice quickly.
Yep. And in the past, what's happened with Green Bay's run defense, let me give you an example here. This guy would be responsible for two gaps from time to time. So he would engage and he would try to control this gap and this gap, right? Bosa would be an edge defender out here standing up. He's just simply setting the edge, right? This guy would engage and try to control two gaps. That's why they're not as aggressive, just splitting the gap.
Right, and that's a big hole. I mean, you're trying to hold Myers and who's that? Runyon, Newman, whoever. You're trying to hold two people and get on the inside hip of Rashid. That's a huge gap you got to hold up. You know, being one person.
Absolutely. So now think of it from a 4-3 perspective. If you change your philosophy and it's truly a one gap aggressive approach. Hit the gap. Don't even think. Hit the gap. Don't even think. Hit the gap. Don't even think. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
And again, I know people don't want to hear it, but it's truth. If you play this way, you're going to give up big plays. It's going to happen.
Right. But
you're also going to cause turnovers, and you're going to cause negative plays. You just hope that you're
just going to say more TFLs. How many tackles for losses have we had in the past? You know,
don't seem like much. It sure don't. Yeah. So. There you go. That's another different look there. Again, that's a nickel set, and they're kind of in an over front. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Again, I just wanted to kind of – I think sometimes we try to explain this stuff, and you can't really give a true visualization as to what we're seeing, what we're trying to explain. I think it's good to kind of look at it from – even if it's from a still shot, right? So, I think it definitely helps. Yeah. Let's go around the horn. We're at the hour mark, man. That flew by. Holy cow. Appreciate y'all jumping on here with me, or else I would have had to talk the entire freaking time. So you guys know, believe it or not, I really hate talking. That's one thing I had to get over when we started the pod. Was like, you better fill some time, buddy. Jacob, what do you think, man? What are you coming away with? What are you excited about when it comes to this new defense potentially, man?
I mean, I'm just, again, it sounds like a broken record this episode, but it just – to me, reiterates how important having really dominant linebackers is for a dominant defense. And again, I think that's something that we've lacked for a long time. I saw Chad Ink said Niall Diggs. Y'all remember Niall Diggs?
I remember him, yeah.
That was pretty cool. And then there was another guy here, SDN40, was talking about how Reggie White was only ever afraid of one player, Wayne Simmons. I remember that dude too.
Everybody talked about Wayne Simmons being a madman, didn't they, Jacob?
Just a freak, dude. Yeah, I remember George Koontz. That was one of my favorite players for whatever reason. Yeah. Remember when he'd make a play, the whole stands would be a Koontz.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember asking my dad, I'm like, why are they booing him? They're like, no, you idiot. No,
they're not booing him. But, Jacob, 6 years old. Shut up, you idiot.
Go outside. Yeah, so I really want us to really hammer linebacker in the draft. Yep. If we don't do anything more in free agency, I want us to do that. And the other thing I'm excited about, hey, we had at one point 18 people watching on Rumble. We didn't even announce it. That's super cool. We'll maybe email Rumble and try to see if we can work out some of the bugs there, because it sounds like they're still, like Clayton said, in beta testing. But yeah, I'm excited, man. This is
we'll be the guinea pigs if they need us to be. We'll figure it out for them. We'll get it working. Be the lab rats.
Sure. This dude over here drunk on cough syrup. He's been under the weather. He's like, we'll be guinea pigs. Speak for yourself. No, yeah, we'll figure it out. Again, as long as we're getting the content to you guys and gals, that's all that matters, man. It really is. So we'll continue to churn it out. But we were going to try to get to some draft prospects that might fit this mold. But Jacob, I think we just found our topic for this evening, bub. So we'll deep dive the draft and go, okay, who fits the physical build for a mock in this draft? Is there one? There may not be one. You know who I'm going to look at first. I'm going to go, how tall is Junior Colts? Because that's my draft crush. Which is today Michigan's pro day, or was it yesterday? We should get some
yesterday. And that if I'm not mistaken, I think Goody didn't go to Michigan. They went to like Missouri instead or something.
Wow. Way to throw him off the scent, Goody. I love that move.
Exactly.
But now there's also some dogs in Missouri, though, right? We've seen some dogs on that team. So that's exciting to see, too.
Big time.
I'm eager to see. I'm just going to do a quick Twitter search. We're over on time, but we're going to get out of here quick. I'm just going to type in Junior Colson and see if anything's popping up for him and the pro day. Anything. He may not have even done anything. I don't know. So, I'm not seeing anything. Let's see, Junior Colson. Looks like here he's going to be at the Sports Zone doing something, hanging out. So that's cool. I don't see anything here. We'll try to get those numbers. I'm excited to get my draft board complete as soon as all the RAS is hit, man. That's the big thing kind of holding me up. And then, of course, we'll implement some little nuggets here or there. Some stuff did shift around, and we've got the majority of the information in. But as it sits right now, Junior Colson is still my best linebacker in the 50 spot. Peyton Wilson at 63. Peyton Wilson was 6'3", right, Jacob? 6'3 or 6'4?
I think he was 6'4".
6'4, yeah. There you go. Okay. Cedric Gray at 66, and then Edrin Cooper at 86, which you guys know I'm in the minority there. There are many people that have Edrin Cooper as their best linebacker. So, cool. I think we'll have an opportunity to draft two, maybe three linebackers in this draft. And the way it falls, we might have our pick of the litter there in the 40s. We pick in the 40s. So, yeah. All right, man. Cool. Chad, appreciate you, buddy. We'll see you here in here tonight for that draft pick talk. We'll try to see which players catch our eye from the linebacker perspective. And, again, I think it's cool that Quay could play Will. He kind of fits that athletic role, right? That athletic build, if you will, that the quickness and just kind of playing freely. But he can also play Mike. He's definitely got the height for Mike. So that gives Goody a little more room too. And I just wanted to point out that, like, how often are we going to be in a 4-3? You know, we talk 4-3, 4-3, 3-4, 4-3, but we're really going to be in the nickel the majority of the time. So you need one starting backer to go beside him. Doesn't mean you're not going to take multiple swings.
Right.
Quay, pretty much a lock for a starting nickel linebacker. Who's going to be that other one, right?
And we'll try. How much do you think we're going to be in that, Clayton?
Probably about 65% of the
time. 65%.
65%. That's what
we Jacob's most hated video. It's in his face every time. It's worth it. Yeah. Now, Smitty, we're not going to talk about drafting kickers tonight, buddy. Sorry. That's Tim's not on the show tonight. We're going to let that one go.
Oh, man.
All right. We're out of here, guys. Appreciate y'all hanging out with us. This was a lot of fun. We'll get this one uploaded for the podcast. And like I said, we're doing three shows today because I'm going to be out tomorrow night. Although, if the guys want to go live for PTA Live, you guys do it. Crank it out. I probably won't be back from Kentucky by then. So, well, Smitty says, bummer. No kicker talk. Sorry, man. So, all right. We're out of here, gang. Appreciate y'all for hanging out with us. Super chats. I can't see who the super chats were. That's not showing up on the StreamYard side. You know who you are. Thank you, Jacob and Emilio, for running those down. It really helps.
United Bates and Mano. Thanks.
And there's Bates is right there. $5. Appreciate you, Bates. Let the rant go. And Mano swinging that. Appreciate you, Mano.
Love it. Yeah. Thank you all so much, man. Y'all are awesome. So we're out of here. We'll see you tonight. For those of you listening on the pod, thank you for making us a part of your day. As always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world. And go, Pack, go.
The power sweep. Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
Yes, our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. Tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.